May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As you're looking around this morning, there's a couple of things that you might want to be aware of. First of all, yesterday there was a huge service here in celebration of Joe's life. And we give thanks for Joe's ministry and his extraordinary contribution to this parish over the years, and for the many, many that gathered together yesterday for that celebration of life. I may have been a contributor to my own destiny when I said that every parishioner should be in church once a week and celebrate the Eucharist once a week, and it's clearly for about 80 of you that was yesterday. Those who gather here this morning, delighted to see you in person, and I'm sure there's many by live stream today, and welcome. Good to have you here today. This is an extremely complicated gospel. Have you noticed I've said that before in the last few weeks? Here's the reality. Jesus is having a conversation with the religious leaders, and if he's chatting with them, he's trying to make a point. And if he's trying to make a point, he's trying to do it in such a way that they'll remember. So instead of taking his index finger, as some are still inclined to do, and shaking his finger at them, he tells them a story, because he knows they'll remember a story. And the story goes a little bit like what you heard in the gospel today. A dad is trying to deal with two of his growing sons, and one of the sons says, "Give me half the inheritance, I'm leaving." Now, let's understand something. This is not his son going to the door and saying, "I don't like the rules around here. I don't like the way you're treating me. I'm out." It's, "Hey, Dad, I'd like to adventure into the outside world. Could I just please have your money now? Give me an inheritance before you're dead. I'd like to go party now. I'd like to have an adventure now." And his father, you can imagine the pain of saying, "In order to give the inheritance to you, I have to give the other half to your brother, and I have to do it now, which means after all these years of work, I'm worth nothing. And you have your inheritance." But he did it anyway, because he loved them both. And as painful as it was, he gave them the money, and the young son went away. Now, none of us should be surprised that a young person would leave and experiment, have an adventure, try wild and crazy things. I know none of you did it, but you might have known somebody that did it. Took some of the family money and disappeared to college or university, went to class occasionally, spent the rest of the time spending the money on all kinds of things. And I think it would be profoundly dysfunctional for me to get into all of the bad things that he did. Let it suffice to say that he ended up flat on his back in the muck and yuck of a pig facility, saying to himself, "That was a bad idea." He may have used some other colorful language, but he really came to a moment where he came to himself. What does that mean for you and I? It means he realized he'd made a mistake and he needed to fix it. He wasn't sure how to fix it, so he created a speech. Some of us do that. We try and figure out what we're going to say to the other person in the form of an apology, how we're going to try and make it right, how we want to try and fit in again when we've clearly been cast out. The evidence of that effort is that the father says he was dead, and now he's alive again. We understand that the father was probably aware of what was going on, because like some parents in this room might do, he was probably keeping tabs on what was happening. He knew he couldn't interfere, but he was keeping tabs. And he waited for his son. You know, you don't just one day go to the front door and see your son coming from quite a distance and then run out to meet him and put your arms around him if you haven't been going to the door every single day to wait. And there are parents in this room that know what it's like to wait for your child to return. We have 4 children. And it wasn't unusual for there to be at least one that would consider that option. Now, some people say, well, you know what? The kid left because his dad was a jerk. No, wait a minute. His dad gave him half the money, half the inheritance to go and do his adventure. We could talk about the mom if you would like. Would you like to talk about the mom? You know what? That would be my own personal agenda because we don't hear about the mom at all. The mom doesn't even figure into the conversation. So that would be pure speculation. Here's what we know for sure. Jesus is trying to make a point with the disciples, and the point is this. As he's talking to the disciples at a distance and the Pharisees in his face, he's trying to say, no matter how bad we get, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter where we were, who we were with, or what we did, when we come to ourselves and we ask for forgiveness, God is there in mercy and compassion every single time. The key to the whole thing is coming to terms with ourselves and asking for forgiveness. It's a new beginning with God every single time. That's the point he's trying to make. Now, why are the Pharisees upset about the response? Let me explain this. The Pharisees have structure, order, and discipline. In other words, there's about 350 rules that you need to obey daily. If you're anything like me, I have a conversation with myself as I'm getting out of bed many mornings. Lord, I want to thank you for this new day. I have not yet said anything stupid. I have not offended anyone. I have not caused a problem. I have not challenged anyone. I haven't been difficult, but now I got to get out of bed. And if you're anything like me, you have that subconscious conversation with yourself on a regular basis. You see, the emphasis is not on messing up. The emphasis is on fessing up and cleaning it up. We've talked about that the entire season, how important that is in each one of our relationships. So in this story, the son goes home. He's embraced by the father. They hold a huge celebration because for the father, the son was profoundly lost. And now he's found. Here's where it gets personal and on the edge of the possibility of offending. I'm sure you've lived a good life. You've been faithful and dedicated and loyal. I'm sure you have. But I think there might be a possibility that every single person in this room has had a moment in their life where they felt lost, confused. It might have been in your marriage, or with your kids, with your job, with your friends, with your extended family. Lost, left out, unsure of your footing of relationships. It happens to all of us. The point Jesus is making is, no matter where you've been, what you did, who you were with, the only thing that matters is that you love God and return to God on a regular basis, and that we do our best to clean up whatever mess we've made in the midst of that experience. Now, let's talk about the older brother for a minute. Most of you can identify with the older brother because, as I said earlier, you spent most of your life doing the right thing. And then somebody else gets all the rewards. And it seems profoundly unfair, profoundly unreasonable. But the reality is this. the older son and the younger son see the world differently, but the father sees them the same. He sees them as God's children who need to be loved and accepted the way they are and invited to grow. And he turns to the other boy and he says, "You've already got everything that belonged to me. And you've got me. We have each other. We can work out whatever differences we have. But our relationship is completely separate from the relationship with your brother." It's so easy for you and I to look around and say, "How come that one's getting away with things? How come that one doesn't get what they got coming?" It's so easy for us to do that. But the only relationship that matters, in the ultimate sense of eternity, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I understand the brother's grumbling? Absolutely. Do I think his situation was fair? Nope. But as so many of you have reminded me over the years, life isn't fair. The reality is that Jesus is telling a story about God's love and mercy and compassion, even when somebody really messes up and needs forgiveness and a brand new start. May you and I receive that love and mercy and forgiveness every day of our lives. Amen.